The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
On NFL Live, Bucks camp has opened up, which means we finally get to see Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski united at last. And speaking of reunited, Big Ben back throwing a ball. We get a live report from Pittsburgh on how he's looked so far.
Well, this is a wild NFL Live for a Tuesday, guys. You are going to hear from the top quarterbacks. We got Big Ben on the show, Aaron Rodgers, Teddy Bridgewater, Jimmy Garoppolo as well. You're going to be hearing them over the next hour. Hi, everyone. Let's get this thing started. I'm Diane Rossini with you, Kimberly Martin, Jeff Saturday, and Tim Hasselbeck all with us today. Also joining us, ESPN Bucks reporter Jenna Lane, Steelers reporter Brooke Pryor. They are at camp right now as workouts get underway, training camp all across the NFL. But we start where the 2020 season is scheduled to end with Super Bowl 55. That is in Tampa, Florida. The Bucks in the early days of this full squad training camp, so they are just in those shorts and t-shirts, no helmets. Strength and conditioning for them. In a week, they're going to have those helmets eventually in full pads too. This is really our first opportunity to see Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski together. We know that they've all been working out at local high schools. We've had that great chopper video of all of them finally on the field at the facility today. Let's welcome in our Bucks reporter, Jenna Lane, to the show. Jenna, I know this is just the early stages of camp, but how is Tom Brady adjusting to that Florida sunshine and his new teammates?
Well, Diana, yeah, we only got to see him for about 30 minutes. It was mostly these short to intermediate passes, a couple deep throws at the very end. They spent a lot of time doing throws at the goal line. But I gotta say that the timing, the accuracy, the ball placement, he was on the money on virtually every throw. He did not look like a guy that was throwing to his teammates for the first time. So as much as he got flack for having some of those player-led workouts here at a local high school, you could tell they really were able to build some chemistry, and that was with Mike Evans, of course, Rob Gronkowski, a guy that he knows very, very well from his time in New England, and then also guys like LeSean McCoy, even, who he practiced with today for the first time. And McCoy actually said he's like a general out there. They had scrimmaged against each other before, but McCoy just raved about the fact that every throw he made, the ball was just on the money. He actually walked over to Gronkowski and a couple of the other teammates, and they're like, guys, how long do you think he's going to keep doing this? They're just blown away that he's been able to do this at a high level for such a long time. And McCoy said that that really has inspired him to want to do the same.
Yeah, Tom Brady celebrating his 43rd birthday yesterday. So we got Brady, Gronkowski, Shady McCoy. They're your 2020 Bucks on day one, and so far, looking good. So are you, Jenna. Thanks so much for joining the show. All right, let's bring in our panel here. Jeff Saturday, I'm not sure if you had seen on Good Morning Football, but Saints Cameron Jordan, who, very outspoken, told those guys there that the Tampa Bay Bucks are fighting for second place in the NFC South. All right, so do you agree with this?
First of all, I love Cam Jordan because he's going to give us all kinds of material to talk about all year. He's never shied away from a microphone, and you got to love it. It keeps football fun. And I love that he came right out. Hey, they're playing for second place. They got the second best quarterback. He says all those things, and I like it. And in all honesty, you have to beat the best to be the best. And so, you know, if you're Cam Jordan, you're sitting in that seat, you do feel pretty confident. I will say this, though. Be cautious in how you say that. This is a different Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team. This is not the team that you beat handily twice last year. This is a completely different offense, completely different mindset with Bruce Arians, the type of mentality he has. I mean, this guy can motivate people, right? I mean, it's not just – I mean, I'm not talking about calling plays. Byron Leftwich is handling all the business. I'm talking about just the way he gets guys going and to take shots at Tom Brady early. Don't poke the bear, right? I mean, let's just have a little fun. but make sure that we keep it, you know, kind of try to keep it in-house. We've already put bulletin board material up, and we're not even, we hadn't even put pads on. So I love it for me because it makes my job easy, but I just be cautious in how I set it.
Yeah, I love Cam Jordan too. King of the backhanded compliments. Look, if you're a Saints player right now, you, at this point, you should feel like that division goes through New Orleans. And it does. When was the last time the Bucks won the division? It's been almost 20 years. So I completely understand why Cam Jordan is confident. But as Jeff was saying, and as Jenna was saying, you know, this is a different Tampa team, and checking in with people at one Bucks place, they're excited. Teammates are talking about Brady's accuracy and his focus right now, and they're not even doing anything right now. So just imagine when practices get crazy and games start going.
That's the truth. But this is a very strange offseason here. We like to think that this is going to be an offense that sort of resembles what they did in New England to make sure that the learning curve for Tom Brady is very small, right? You got to figure that Bruce Arians isn't going to throw him too much. They're going to try to make him comfortable. But that being said, knowing all the weapons he has here, Tim, what actually concerns you most about Brady's offense in Tampa Bay now?
Well, I think the big key would be that if you were going to compare them to the other teams, you know, at the top of the NFC, and then just obviously the NFC South, did you think about the continuity that already exists for the Saints? You know, I mean, they basically are operating at a graduate level where it's football 101 because of all the new pieces, in place in Tampa Bay. So that would be the concern there. That being said, I think Tom Brady's going to be fine, you know, learning the new offense. I think that, there'll be a kind of a marriage between things that he's been good at doing in the past with things Bruce Arians has been doing in the past. I think they'll find some common ground with that. And then I think it's about the players, you know, kind of adjusting to the expectation and the timing and how fast Tom Brady gets through things and how quickly the ball comes out. You know, there'll be an adjustment there with that. But ultimately, I think they end up being fine. And in terms of Cam Jordan's comments, look, I've picked the Saints to win the division. I think it's a better football team. And, you know, I think many people feel that way. I think it'll be competitive with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'd also just like to point out, of course, Jeff Saturday likes it when people make his job easy, because that basically defines his playing career, right? Peyton made his job easy, and now he wants everyone else to do his work for him at ESPN. That's kind of how it goes.
Timmy, shots fired, baby. We're ready. Hey, let me say this before we move on. Remember, I equate this. Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, very similar to when Peyton left Indianapolis and went to Denver, right? And how quickly these two guys, they're not only great quarterbacks, they change the culture in buildings, right? And so when you think about what happened with Jameis Winston last year, all the turnovers, the way that he goes about his business, that's not going to be a Tom Brady style offense or the way he's going to walk in the locker room. I think that to me, that to me is what excites me about watching these two teams play, because that's Drew Brees in New Orleans as well. So these two guys who are true generals on the field, they love to lead their team. They love to lead guys. That's the part that really should excite the Buccaneers fans, is it's not just he's a good quarterback. You know, he's got all these Super Bowls. None of that means anything to Tampa Bay. At the end of the day, he is going to change the culture of your organization, and they've already seen it day one. Shady McCoy saying it, Godwin saying it, right? Evans is saying it, because they've never seen a guy come in. I was fortunate, because I did make Peyton Manning's job a lot easier, to see Peyton do it. And then when he got to Denver, they heard and said the same thing. It will be very similar because of the way that Brady conducts himself.
All right. Well, fortunately, we have a lot more show left, Jeff, where you can take a shot at Tim, which is very simple around here. Let's go from a 43-year-old quarterback to a 38-year-old. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger back at Heinz Field, throwing for the first time since his season-ending elbow surgery last September. Here's what Big Ben had to say on what it's like being back out on the field and throwing.
Specifically going back, I've had a little bit of an injury in that elbow for quite a few years, but just something I've kind of dealt with. Never serious enough to do anything with, but one deep one to Juju down the right side, and I just really felt a different pain and different discomfort than I've ever felt, and it was kind of shooting down my arm. I think the plan is still to kind of pitch count, if you will, through training camp. I worked really hard yesterday in terms of a lot of throws. I'll throw maybe try about half that amount today, and then tomorrow I'll just really back off again and just kind of to see how it's going to feel. I'm not saying I've got 10 years left in me, but I definitely feel like I've got some really good years left in me. So that was definitely a motivating factor, was coming back and showing that I still have it in the tank. I still have a lot to give this team. I still have a lot to give the fans, and I still want to win Lombardi's. And I say that with a plural on the end.
I feel like he's the first quarterback not to say he's going to play until he's 50 years old. He's quite aware of his age here. So let's bring in our Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for us. And Brooke, you know, you're around this team all the time. You participate in all these Zoom calls with the players, including that one with Ben Roethlisberger. So what's it been like in terms of the feeling having Ben back out there and healthy now?
Yeah, you know, Diana, there isn't a lot that's normal in the NFL right now, but talking with offensive coordinator Randy Fichtner last week, he said normalcy for them is having Ben Roethlisberger back in the huddle. Because, you know, last season after that elbow injury in week two, Ben spent most of the time on the sideline, but that wasn't necessarily a bad thing. He said he got a different perspective of the offense, this big picture perspective, and a different look at how the offense runs, something that he hadn't really experienced since he was a junior in high school and was playing wide receiver. And at the time, his coach said, hey, this is going to help you when you're the quarterback next year. And he didn't quite understand that lesson then, but he gets it now. And speaking of being younger and feeling younger, he said he's as light as he's been in 13 or 14 years. And while he may not have 10 years left in the tank, he said that he does have some good years ahead of him. And like he said, he wants to win Lombardi's, multiple, plural.
Yeah, and Brooke, I didn't want to mention it there, but in that interview, it was obvious just in his face. You can see Big Ben has certainly dropped some pounds there as he gets ready to get back out on the field after he dealt with that injury in week two against the Seattle Seahawks and pretty much changed the entire season for that Pittsburgh Steelers team. Brooke Pryor, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks.
All right, guys, so since Big Ben started playing on the banks of Pittsburgh's Three Rivers in 2004, which you just saw Brooke standing right near, he's been the crown jewel of the Steeler quarterbacks. He's won over two-thirds of his 216 career starts. But when he's been out of action, his replacements have taken on water, right? So we saw it all last season. No other Steelers quarterback has made 10 starts since Roethlisberger was actually drafted. So, Tim, I want to start with you. Big Ben himself, he mentioned more Lombardi trophies. He's already won two. What does a healthy Big Ben mean for the Steelers in this AFC championship race?
I think they can be a legitimate Super Bowl contender if we're getting the best of Ben Roethlisberger. I think they can be that good. And it doesn't mean I think that they're the favorite to win their division, because I would think that it would be the Baltimore Ravens still. Certainly you would have to deal with the Chiefs in the AFC. But with that being said, we have to remember that this was an 8-8 football team last year with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges playing quarterback and not playing it very well. And so when you look at the situation, you think about what Kevin Colbert said, the Steelers GM, what he said at the combine, which was, we're expecting to get a better Ben Roethlisberger back, maybe as good as he's ever been. And you think about the type of year he had in 2018, his last full season as a starter before the elbow injury, it was the best year he's ever had. And so, look, I don't know if he's going to throw for over 5,000 yards. I don't know if he's going to throw for nearly 40 touchdowns. But I do know this, if he is healthy enough to play, that team that went 8-8 without him a year ago certainly is poised to make a lot of noise in the AFC.
Yeah, Tim, I completely agree with you. You look at this football team, they're well coached. Like you said, they played to 8-8 with subpar, really QB play. Him coming back, if you even get him, you know, 80, 85% of what he was in 2018, this team is going to compete. They know how to play tight games, right? They know how to play the black and blue style. It's going to be smash mouth. They know how to spread you out and go attack you with Juju. And so as you're looking at this football team, they have to be very excited about what they're poised for, right? Good offensive line. They're pushing through this thing. They understand what's at stake. I'm very excited to see if Roethlisberger can get back. And like you said, the pitch count to me is going to really be the key. Like how many days back-to-back can he go, right? If he has that, hey, there's a little soreness, I got to take 2 or 3 days off. That's really what affects you during the season. But if he can just go pare it down as the week goes on, you and I both know most quarterbacks do that anyway, right? They're going to take fewer and fewer as you get closer to Sunday. The second guy is going to come in and take some of those reps. And with COVID being what it is, they may be doing that anyway, just in case. So this is one of those years where they really could manage the stuff that's happening with his arm. And if he comes out and produces on Sunday, man, the sky's the limit for this Steeler football team.
I love this old man QB revenge tour. It seems like so many old quarterbacks are coming out like, I got something to prove and I love it. And Big Ben being one of them. I think when you look at the teams that have the advantage, it's going to be the ones who have continuity, veteran leadership at QB and head coach. And that to me spells Steelers. Again, I don't think this team is going to win the division. I'm not saying that. I think Tim was saying, I think it's the Baltimore Ravens. But look around at the AFC North. Baker and the Browns have a new coach. Rookie QB in Cincinnati and Joe Burrow and a young head coach. I think that helps set the stage for Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, a healthy Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, to do some damage.
Oh, certainly. And what a difference it is when he's on the field. Tim just kept pointing to it. And if you look at this organization as a whole, you know, Pittsburgh's looking to avoid missing the playoffs in 3 consecutive seasons since they did so back in 1998 through 2000. So it's been a long time. When Ben is healthy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
They are successful. Well, that was Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on Aaron Rodgers earlier in the week. Now, last night, the 16th-year Packers quarterback had his chance to address his future with this franchise after Green Bay drafted his eventual replacement, Jordan Love, in the offseason. Take a listen.
I savor every moment, every season. I don't take any of it for granted. I don't know, you know, what the future holds. I know I can control this year and my play and my approach and my attitude. If I retire on the team's, you know, timeline, then all is well. But if they're looking to move on before I'm ready to be done playing, you know, then there comes an impasse at that point. I can control, you know, my play and my performance and my approach and my leadership. But at some point, you know, there's other factors involved.
The back and forth continues. I don't know if we're all just bored, but it just seems like this has been going on since that draft night of who's saying this, who's saying that, what does this all mean? So, Kimberly, what's been your takeaway from this entire situation, hearing from both Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers?
I love passive-aggressive Aaron Rodgers. He's just going to tell you exactly what he thinks. You know, listen, the team made its statement. Regardless of what Matt LaFleur says this week, next week, 2 months from now, the team made its statement in the draft. A team that went 13-3 last year, had opportunities in a loaded draft to take wide receivers, came in, moved into the first round, and took a quarterback, even after the 49ers took a wide receiver in the spot before. So, you know, that's all the Packers need to say. And Matt LaFleur saying right now, Aaron's our guy. Well, yeah, the key words there, right now. The team made its statement. Rodgers made his. And this is going to be fascinating to watch over the next couple of years.
Yeah, Tim, this is an organization that's never really yearned for a quarterback, right? They've always had their guy on the bench waiting to step in to become the starter. But here you have Matt LaFleur, a young coach, just in his second year with a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. How is this relationship going to work?
Well, I think it'll start to become kind of contentious, to be honest with you. There was so much made last year about their relationship, the amount of control Aaron would have at the line of scrimmage. You know, if that was going to bother Matt LaFleur in terms of how he wanted his offense to operate. And so now you have a situation where there's no doubt that Aaron Rodgers feels betrayed. I mean, he probably feels like, you know, this kind of new regime in the front office and the head coach are turning their back on him when he's got plenty of good football left. And so now, you know, any type of conflict, any type of friction that you're going to get during a season, which you are going to get, you know, now all of a sudden you might have a, you know, an Aaron Rodgers that's less looking forward to trying to make it work out and maybe more apt to just make his point and do it his way. I mean, look, that's how I would envision it going. You know, I've heard people talk about there being a power struggle. There will be a power struggle because the quarterback will play well and he'll feel like the team is trying to move on from him.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think when you talk about what the Packers did in the draft, moving up, getting a guy, getting the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, and even these kind of comments, right? If you believe that Aaron Rodgers was your guy, you would have done something to help him win now. You were 13-3 in great position to do something and make a true impact. You could have built on the success of last year. Instead, you kind of split and move off and decide, hey, we're worried more about the future than we are about right now winning. When you think about his wide receiving core last year, Adams was his guy, right? That was the go-to. They did a better job running the football with Jones, but ultimately you had one real guy that he was going to. You could have helped him in a number of different ways. So it's not only the betrayal of drafting a quarterback for the future, it's you didn't give me anything to get better. And so if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're sitting here, you understand you played the same role 15 years ago. So you understand what it really looks like. Here's the one thing I would say, though, about Aaron Rodgers and about LaFleur. You don't got to be friends to be really good. So they don't have to be friendly. All they have to do is be business associates. Come in, be a pro, get yourself ready to play. Aaron Rodgers has enough pride about himself. When he goes out, he knows he's the one being watched on Sunday. Nobody's going and watching LaFleur, right? They're watching Aaron Rodgers. And he has enough pride about himself. It's not going to be a situation where he doesn't handle himself and go play good football. But it is going to be one of those things, kind of a burr in your saddle. It's going to be frustrating for him to get through because his success goes to LaFleur, right? And so it becomes one of those situations. But ultimately, Aaron Rodgers not only is playing for Green Bay, but the next team, because honestly, they're already shopping him just by drafting a guy where they did. And that they should have made that very clear when they did. Hey, Aaron's our guy, period. That was not the situation. So now you have distractions leading into training camp.
Yeah, they say, show me, don't tell me, right? They certainly showed Aaron Rodgers what the future is there in Green Bay. All right, guys, the NFL and the NFLPA have agreed to set the opt-out deadline for Thursday at 4 o'clock Eastern. Now, one major difference from Major League Baseball, this will be a very strict deadline. Players will not be able to opt back in or opt out after the deadline has passed. 23 of the 32 teams have had at least one player opt out. And we've seen several elite players among the opt-outs, right? C.J. Mosley, Dante Hightower, Damian Williams, just to name a few right now who've made that decision. The NFL and the NFLPA were able to reach that agreement after the players' union gained two final adjustments to the language of the deal. First, players will now have additional protection in the disciplinary process for those displaying high-risk behavior away from the team. Second, the players gain more favorable language when it comes to how the NFL will spread out the shortfalls in revenue over the coming years. Here's Bills quarterback Josh Allen on why he decided to opt in.
My reason I'm opting in to play is, one, I love this game. Two, I think it's a great opportunity to give this nation hope and allow them to see us go out there and do what we do, because we know that Sunday is a very special day in the lives of a lot of people around the world, a lot of fans around the world.
Certainly every player making their own decision. And I love this video here because we don't really know what it looks like in these facilities. Well, this is how Jacksonville is running the show here. Now, yesterday, quarterback Gardner Minshew went from the reserve COVID-19 list 2 days after he was placed on it. Here he is.
First day of school, you know, like had my outfit picked out and everything. Had to stay at home. That sucks. Missed out playing with all my friends. But yeah, you know, did not contract the virus. It took one luck at me, ran the other way. It's probably in its best interest. So here we are. We're back on Tuesday, ready to roll. Excited to go play some football.
All right, Tom Brady just keeps getting more and more weapons in Tampa. The team officially signed LeSean McCoy just before practice today. And the running back, who also had interest from Philly, did not want to pass up on the sunshine and playing with Tom Brady. Here's a newly signed LeSean McCoy and joining Brady in Tampa.
I've scrimmaged Tom in the past. And we're pretty cool, you know, hey, what's up and things like that. But to actually see him work, I mean, he's like a general, you know, leading the troops, you know, teaching them what he wants in the routes, things like that. I mean, come on. I'm in Tampa, nice weather, and I'm playing with Tom Brady. How can you beat that?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Roethlisberger says he's healthy, ready to go after multiple surgeries. He threw plenty at Heinz Field yesterday and today. The Steelers would have been playing in the Hall of Fame game this Thursday. Remember, they were going to play Dallas. That was obviously canceled, along with preseason games. Here's what Ben had to say about not having any of those preseason games.
You know, I bet you'd never think you'd hear a 17-year vet say that he misses preseason a little bit. I actually kind of was excited for it a little bit to get out there. I don't know if Coach T would have let me play, but I would have asked him because I wanted to get in there and kind of get the feel of it again. So it's definitely going to be different. I mean, knowing that the first time you're out there, it's on the line and guys are counting on you. So a lot more added pressure.
We know the starter in Carolina is this guy, Teddy Bridgewater, the former Viking and Saint, signing a 3-year, $63 million contract to take over for the former league MVP and Super Bowl quarterback, the guy you just saw, Cam Newton, there. Here's Teddy on now replacing Cam Newton.
That's the tough side of this business. I had the opportunity to experience it early in my career. Injuries are always unfortunate. The way things transpired when I got injured and how I wasn't able to return to the driver's seat, you know, I just took it as, hey, man, I got to put my head down and just continue to work. Eventually, you know, there are 31 other teams that will have the opportunity to fall in love with me all over again. And luckily, when I was returned from my injury, I had the opportunity to sign for the Jets, and then New Orleans traded for me. And now I'm here in Carolina, and I'm forever thankful of my journey. One of the biggest problems I had my first year in New Orleans was I wanted to be like Drew. I had to do everything Drew did in order to have success like Drew. But eventually I learned that Drew Brees was Drew Brees. I'm Teddy Bridgewater. I'm coming into the situation. Cam Newton was Cam Newton. I'm still Teddy Bridgewater. So I can't go out there and try to be something that I'm not. You know, I play the game the way I play it. I carry myself the way I carry myself. And, you know, I'm going to live and die by that.
Teddy fared just fine winning those 5 straight games as a starter in New Orleans. And he's really showing great awareness. He made just one playoff start, replacing Carolina's all-time leader in quarterback starts, passing touchdowns and rushing touchdowns. That was held by Cam Newton. And for Cam, he faces a similar challenge stepping in for, a 6-time Super Bowl winner, Tom Brady. All right, time now for my favorite part of the show. We are calling this Camp Crossfire. So we're going to bring back Jeff Saturday and Tim Hasselbeck, and they're very good at this. They love to debate, so we figured why not do it on television. So, guys, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put 1 minute on the clock, all right? And what we're going to do, we're going to have a topic, and you guys just have a minute to basically make your arguments here. So let's stick with this topic here. Which quarterback will have more success with his new team, Teddy Bridgewater or Cam Newton? 1 minute on the clock. Jeff Saturday, you go first.
I'm going to go Teddy Bridgewater, and I'm saying that personally, not necessarily team record-wise, right? I think the Patriots might win more games, but I think Bridgewater with Joe Brady, Matt Rule, like, they have a lot to prove. Bridgewater's healthy finally. He's coming back. He knows he has something to prove. I'm still not sure about Cam coming off the injuries, even going to the Patriots with McDaniels. He and Stidham are going to be fighting this thing out in camp. I'm going to lean towards Bridgewater.
Way to alter the answer. I don't mean not team-wise, but maybe personally. Like, answer the question. The more successful guy is going to be Cam Newton, the former MVP. Teddy Bridgewater's never thrown more than 14 touchdown passes in a season. Think about that. He's never done that before in a passing league. Cam Newton, with his production, I think the way the New England Patriots will use him, yes, he'll be featured as a runner. That's what he does best. He's had over 50 rushing touchdowns throughout his career. I think it's, got a chance to win the division in New England as their starting quarterback. That was an easy one, Jeff. No wonder. That's why I like debating you. It was easy.
Neither of you are Stephen A., but I'm going to give Jeff Saturday the win on that one, because I'm not even sure if Cam will be the starter in New England. So let's keep this going. Cam Crossfire continuing in Washington.
What?
The quarterback situation, a 3-13 team a year ago. Is there a quarterback currently on their roster good enough to make Ron Rivera's team compete in the NFC East? Here's Ron Rivera.
He's looked good. He really has. You know, I'll be honest, I was pleasantly surprised to see how far along he is. It's been exciting to watch his progression. The big thing is if he, can do the things that we need him to do, that he needs to do to help himself on the football field, he'll be part of the conversation most definitely. I don't think Dwayne's very far behind. I really don't. He's done a great job of studying, preparing, getting himself ready for this, and he's been great. He's done the things that I think puts him right there where he needs to be at this junction of where we are in our training. I think he's done a job I think deserves recognition. So I appreciate you asking about that.
Strong words there from the head coach, making sure he's showing his support for the second-year quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, who we know struggled in that Jay Gruden offense his rookie year. But we've got Alex Smith now, guys, who apparently, according to Ron Rivera, he looks good out there after that miraculous recovery. So is there a quarterback on this Washington roster that you think can make them a contender in this division, Tim Hasselbeck?
Here's the deal. Short answer, no. Let me just also say, good for Alex Smith. I hope it works out for Alex somewhere. What he's done has been remarkable. So that aside, I don't think he's the answer in Washington. And then I think when you look at it for Dwayne Haskins, look, they need to figure out if he can play. His rookie season was not a very good one. And then there's been some changeover, this bizarre offseason. They need to figure out if he's good enough to make the people around him better. But as we sit right now, I don't think he is.
Yeah, they do not have a quarterback on their roster that's going to help them in this division. I mean, there's too many holes on this football team that one guy is not going to do it. And a guy, especially being Alex Smith, again, I agree with Tim. And what he's done is next to miraculous to come back to where he is. But the conversation about winning the division, not going to happen.
All right, I'm going to call that one a tie. So this is going to be the championship round. Let's get ready here. Let's talk about free agent wide receiver Antonio Brown. Guys, listen in. So in Oakland, Brown was involved in several incidents. We know this, right? We had the frostbitten feet, the helmet dilemma, the confrontation with Raiders GM Mike Mayock. After his release, he joined the New England Patriots, but was cut after one game amid sexual assault accusations. Then came the moving truck incident we saw on video, with all of this culminating in an 8-game suspension. So for 8 games, he is out of the league. Pete Carroll, though, addressed the Antonio Brown rumors yesterday.
Well, what I'd say to you is just what we always say, because it's what we always do and who we are. John is competing at every turn. And there's never been a process, unless we just missed it, that we weren't involved with to understand what the chances were helping our club. And he's all over it. He knows what's going on right now and as much as you can. And it remains a, it's a very complex situation. And we just need to see where it fits somewhere down the road. And that's all I got for you.
Well, in terms of personality, I think he's probably the best head coach in terms of dealing with difficult characters. But that being said, should the Seattle Seahawks sign Antonio Brown? Jeff Saturday, you go first. 1 minute on the clock, guys.
Yeah, Pete Carroll said it best. You're going to wait 8 weeks to see if Antonio Brown can control his off-field behavior. If he does, he's probably going to end up signing him. I mean, it would make this team even better with Lockett, Metcalf. Now you actually have a third wide receiver. He has never had issues on the field, work ethic wise, play, separate himself, you name it, he's done it. His behavior off the field has continued to cost him. And so I'm assuming what Pete Carroll and John Snyder are talking about is, can he control himself for these 8 weeks and give himself an opportunity to get this? Because when you talk about trading for Jamal Adams, which they did to make a big splash and a Super Bowl run, Antonio Brown would actually be the one that would push them over.
Oh, I have an idea. In a year that we've never seen, where it's going to be more important how a guy behaves when he is not in the team's facility, let's go sign a guy that has been nothing but a headache outside of the team's facility that he's been with. Jeff, that's a brilliant idea. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's trust Antonio Brown and his behavior outside of the facility. I'm sure that's exactly what the Seahawks did.
Time is up.
Eight weeks of behavior control. That's what they're looking at, Timmy. Yeah. Like, they put you in timeout for 30 seconds.
That's about all he's got in
them. They're putting him in timeout for 8 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll stay right off social media there with you, Jeff. So, Tim.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
It pains me, but I'm going to anoint you the champion of our Camp Crossfire, so you don't get anything, but you get to stay on the show. You know, first it was Trent Williams, then it was Jordan Reed, Kyle Shanahan, getting familiar faces on his Niners team from his days in Washington. San Francisco signed the tight end after he was released from Washington last season. Reed, an explosive player, but just was always battling those major head injuries. Last year, Adam Schefter was actually reporting that some within the Washington organization believe that Reed's career could be in jeopardy. Meantime, Reed will be teaming up with one of the NFL's most fearsome tight ends in George Kittle, just an absolute monster. Since entering the NFL, he's registered the third most yards after the catch among all players, even ranking ahead of the likes of Todd Gurley and Michael Thomas. Here's Shanahan on what Kittle means to the Niners.
Not only is being the best tight end to me in the league, but also the type of person he is. So we're doing everything we can to get that done. I do feel good about it. It was great to see George today for the first time. I know you opened camp on the 28th, but all the COVID testing and stuff, today was actually the first day that we were able to see all the vets and everybody. So it's always hard when you're away from people from a little bit, but be able to sit down and reconnect with people that you know real well and stuff. It was great to see George again today, and no one's changed. And I feel really good about this going forward, and feel very optimistic about it. So hopefully something will happen sooner than later. Not too concerned about it, though.
Yeah, and Kyle should be thrilled. You guys forget, or at least I forgot, that they had so many injuries last year, right? Remember Jerick McKinnon, Trent Taylor, Jalen Hurd? They're all back after missing. So then they also added first-round receiver Brandon Ayuk, and they traded for new left tackle, like I mentioned when we started here, Trent Williams, and obviously a major force there and going to be very helpful on that offensive line. We know training camp is back in action, real early stages here. Take a look at this shot of Tua stretching, getting ready, and pretty funny shot of Ryan Fitzpatrick doing the right thing. He's wearing the mask, despite the fact that he's got that gigantic beard grown out there. And he recently saying he's quite aware of what his role there, and that's to get Tua ready to go. And what is Derek Carr's role going to be this year? It's going to be to prove, according to him. He said basically on potentially opting out, right, so players have until Thursday to do that. He said, I did not. I have a lot to prove to myself. I have a lot to prove to the team. I'm tired of being disrespected. There is no question I was going to play this year. So let's bring this back out to our panel. You know, he's been very vocal about how emotional he is, about feeling disrespected. We've seen his brother out on Twitter sticking up for him. So, Tim, I want to start with you. How much does Derek Carr have to prove here this season?
Well, I think he has a lot to prove. Look, it seems like every offseason, you know, there have been quarterbacks that could potentially be on the move. be linked to the Raiders. And so if you're the starting quarterback, which he has been, and, you know, every offseason it seems like in the news cycle, the team may be interested in someone else. Like, yeah, you feel like you need to prove that you belong and create an opportunity where your team isn't looking around for your replacement.
Yeah, when you think about a guy who, you know, is this many years into your career and you still haven't solidified this is your job, and you know, one of the preeminent QBs are going to make the run with John Gruden and the leadership he's trying to provide at that position specifically, that's not a good sign. And so he does. He's got a chip on his shoulder, and rightfully so. He does have a lot to prove and needs to show what he's about.
I think that comment wasn't just directed at fans and maybe media, but also his head coach. You know, I don't know, is John Gruden particularly sold on Derek Carr? And I think that's the key issue. You know, he inherited Carr. So, you know, Derek may feel he's being disrespected, but he still has to prove it, and that's on him.
All right. Thanks, guys. That'll do it for NFL Live. The Jump with Rachel Nichols from The Bubble coming up next.